Hello guys and welcome to Otson CONMEBOL qualifiers for the World Cup. We have the 10th match day, so past the equator of the qualification. Let's analyze every single game, of course, with Leo Bachanian and with you. Leave a comment below with your predictions and don't forget, click on the like, subscribe and click on the bell to get notifications. And now let's go on with the show. Tenth round of games in South America to qualify for the World Cup. Leo, we passed the equator of the games and we have another interesting round of fixtures. How are you?
How are you, Edu? A pleasure to be again now with this CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers. Everything goes so fast. It looked like yesterday we were talking about the September triple round of fixtures, but no, we are already in October.
I completely agree, Leo. This goes very quickly. Let's go quickly to the five games we have on Thursday or on Friday. First one, very important one, Paraguay-Argentina. Very important, yeah. Because Paraguay, they are sixth right now, 2 points behind Colombia and Ecuador, fighting to be in Qatar. Remember that in the last round of fixtures, Paraguay was able to beat Venezuela 2-1 and draw with Colombia, 4 points in these three games. The problem for Paraguay right now, Leo, is that they don't keep clean sheets in the last five games. They are conceding quite a lot for a team like historically. They are very good defending. And what to say about your Argentina? They don't lose a game since 2017. And the last game, remember, all guys, was another show of Leo Messi in the victory against Bolivia. What do you expect here? Because Paraguay is recently very uncomfortable for Argentina.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, if you look at the last three encounters between Argentina and Paraguay, Edu, they only managed to score between them 5 goals in the last three games. So yes, we could expect a tight game there in Asunción for the Albirroja in this triple round of fixture. Yes, on first there will be Argentina, then they will travel to Santiago to face Chile. And the third one of this October's fixture will be in the altitude of La Paz. For Argentina will be as Paraguay, then Uruguay, and finally will be Peru. Both of those games at home. I agree with you that for a long time the spirits in Asunción haven't been this high following that 2-1 victory over Venezuela last month. It was a must-needed 3 points for Paraguay, with some high individual performances like the one from Alejandro Romero Gamarra, Hector David Martinez, and especially Hugo Martinez, who plays for Libertad in the Paraguayan first division. Among the players called this time by Berizzo, Edu, is Miguel Almirón, who missed the September games due to the refusal of his team, the Newcastle United, to letting him travel to South America. So that is massive news for Berizzo, because Almirón could be a winger, could be a number 10, so talented and so fast. And if anyone is thinking that I'm exaggerating a little bit his talent, they should watch the Newcastle goal in Old Trafford just weeks ago, on the day Cristiano Ronaldo returned to Manchester United, which started with Almirón getting the ball in his own half and running 60 meters with the ball before assisting Javi Manquillo. And because if you don't manage to stop him before he accelerates, he could become really, really unstoppable. And Scaloni's men actually suffered him on the reverse fixture back in La Bombonera when the score was 1-1. He created the play that ended with the penalty that gave the Albirroja the equalizer that night. With his return and having the twins Angel and Oscar Romero also in the squad, despite not having a team yet, the twin Romero, I believe we will see a Paraguayan team that will repeat the setup that they show in Buenos Aires and also in the Copa America, basically a counter-attacking team. Anyway, playing at home and coming from a victory, I allow myself to believe that they could be a little bit more adventurous on the ball as well. For Argentina, yes, this couldn't be more smooth. This moment, Edu, I believe that the winning the Copa America has given this team, of course, an invaluable confidence. If there is any concern for Scaloni right now, I believe that would be that some of key players like Cuti Romero, Lo Celso, De Paul, Montiel, Paredes are not having as many minutes as in their respective clubs as Scaloni would wish for. And then you have Paulo Dybala as well, no? Who had to be dropped once again. I can't believe, to be honest, how unlucky he is with the national team, how injuries almost every time keep him out of the squad. This time he's been dealing with the muscle injury, which caused him to miss the Champions League game against Chelsea last week. And with La Hoja not available, Scaloni went for the RC Lens defender, Facundo Medina, to add a little bit more depth to their defensive unit. Why Medina? Well, because Marcos Acuña finished as well with the knock, the Champions League game with Sevilla, and also because Nicolas Tagliafico, the Ajax left back, is at the edge of, if he has another yellow card, he will miss the match against Uruguay. So, yes, Edu, as I said before, for Argentina, a visit to Asunción has never been something to take it lightly, but nevertheless, yes, they are favorites. I don't expect many goals. I said the last three encounters have produced 5 goals only, so goals under 2.5, yes, has odds of 1.77. If you look at the odd or even market, a full-time odd result gives you a 1.99 return. And two more I will be looking. Argentina to win 2-0 has odds of 2.7. And also, if you fancy a double chance for Paraguay, that has odds of 2.21.
In the qualifiers in Argentina was a draw, 1-1. Yeah. Also, the Copa America, in Copa America, Argentina won 1-0. So, as you said, we don't expect many goals. This one, next one, Uruguay-Colombia is the one that I'm looking forward to, yeah, watching, Leo, if I have to be honest, because Uruguay, they are third, Colombia, they are fifth with 13 points. Was very interesting also the last two fixtures between these two teams in Copa America. Colombia beat Uruguay in the penalty shootout, but remember that in the game in Barranquilla, in the qualifiers, Uruguay thrash Colombia 0-3. So, Leo, this is very important one. Colombia, they were close actually to be out of the fight for Qatar at the beginning of the qualifications because they started very bad. But remember that the last game was a very important victory against Chile, 3-1, with Borja scoring 2 goals. Whereas for Uruguay, also they are coming from a good spell, 7 points in the last 3 games, even without Cavani and Luis Suarez. But a new star has been born, Leo, because everyone was talking about Darwin Núñez, especially after that game, Benfica-Barça.
Yeah, absolutely, scoring twice, Darwin Núñez, in that Champions League match. I agree with you, it's definitely the game of these first round of fixtures in October. September, Edu, yes, was very good for the Charrúas, taking 7 out of 9. Was not only almost perfect, but the timing was great as well. Just imagine the pressure on the Maestro Tavares team going into triple fixture containing first Colombia and then trips to Argentina and Brazil. If results would not have been the way we saw in September, yes, they are third in the table with 15 points, 2 more than Colombia with 13. And September was not just good because of the 7 points, but mostly because they have done it without Cavani and Suarez, who are now back. Agustin Alvarez, the youngster who scored in the 4-2 against Bolivia, proved to be as well a very interesting option. Talking about options up front, there is the case of Maxi Gomez in Uruguay, who is not part of the squad this time. The Valencia center forward is not an undisputed starter, of course, with the Celeste. But his case is at least curious because he went from being in the starting 11 against Peru in the first game in September to playing only 18 minutes against Bolivia and Ecuador. But I believe that now having back Suarez, Cavani, Agustin Alvarez doing very good in his game against Bolivia, and Darwin Núñez being in a good form, I believe four center forwards for Maestro Tavares, it looks like it's more than enough. And also, I believe Tavares will keep the system he used in September, Edu, a 4-3-1 from 4-3-1 2 that effectively gives more time on the ball to Jorge and the Arrascaeta, who scored 3 times in September, two against Bolivia and the equalizer with Peru. And also this shape gives more time on the ball to the fullbacks. Actually, the right back, Nathan Nandez, has been instrumental lately for Tavares, also assisting Gaston Pereiro in the last minute of the match with Ecuador for a crucial win. And on the left, then you have Matias Vinha, the Roma's left back, who likes to go forward all the time. If Matias Vinha cannot play, then you have Joaquin Piqueres, the Palmeiras left back, who is also very, very attacking, fullback minded. So basically, more than a trend, I believe it's a confirmation that Tavares has relegated his wingers like Brian Rodriguez to give more freedom to the Arrascaeta and the fullback. So all this could provide good news for Cavani and Suarez, because it means they will be well serviced inside the box during the games. So, and if Uruguay triple fixture looks difficult, now look at Colombia's with the Celeste first, and then they will host Brazil and Ecuador in Barranquilla. The Cafeteros will arrive, yes, to the Gran Parque Central on Thursday, knowing that the victory will take them above Uruguay and also into direct qualification spot. After those draws with Bolivia and Paraguay, the 3-1 at home against Chile not only lifted the spirit but also reconciled the team with the fans. Juanfer Quintero had a great match. He's again in the squad. Juanfer, Miguel Borja scored twice. He's likely to start. Luis Diaz showed again some moments of his talent. And the party was not complete only because Rafael Santos Borré, the Eintracht Frankfurt forward, could not join the goal scorers. So, Edu, I don't think that Uruguay is as favorite as the bookies are placing them. Uruguay to win and stand with odds of 2.1, which is half the odds of Colombia, which stands at 4.1. I think there is a greater parity. I will look at goals over 2.5 with odds of 2.61. I expect both teams to score, which has odds of 2.27. And an Asian handicap of minus 0.5 for Uruguay has odds of 2.1. And finally, draw no bet for Colombia has odds of 2.88. So basically, if Colombia wins, you win. If there is a draw, you get your money back.
Yes, usually when we have two teams like these ones that are very balanced, but we see that the odds favorite one, like this Uruguay, we tend to go to the underdog, in this case Colombia, as you said, draw no bet or Asian handicap zero. So if we have a draw, we get our money back. It's always a good option, but also both teams to score 2.27 looks very generous with the odds for this very interesting game, very balanced. We cannot say the same for the next one. Yeah. Venezuela, Brazil, last one against the first one. Venezuela, they are in a really bad spell. They lost 2-1 against Paraguay, but this was the fourth game in a row, losing only 1 point in the last five qualifiers, only able to beat Chile. Everything negative, Leo, for Venezuela, and now they are playing against Brazil. They've won absolutely everything, is true, as we always say, that Titesman, they are not playing that good, but the reality is that only 2 goals conceded, 19 scored. So maybe, as we usually say, Leo, with the Verde Amarela, Brazil to win 2-0 could be a good option.
Of course, yes. I know, Edu, if Brazil takes the 3 points, which we all think it will happen, they will reach 27 points, which if you take into consideration previous CONMEBOL qualifications, that is enough to qualify for a World Cup. So you could have already Brazil almost qualified for Qatar. Not that anyone is thinking it's not going to happen anyway. For example, Colombia for the 2018 Russia World Cup featured in the fourth spot at the end of the competition with 27 points. And Brazil will play only their ninth game of the competition so far, and they could reach these 27 points. This triple fixture for Brazil, Edu, marks the return of the Premier League players. Yes, the UK government has changed the condition for those returning from red list countries. And even though they will have to quarantine in a government chosen hotel, they will be able to train and to play matches once they are back in the UK. For Brazil, yes, has been a walk in the park, collecting all the 24 points so far. This said, I mentioned in our last CONMEBOL World Cup qualifier show that Ite has been listening to critics lately because the team has not yet reached the level that the talent at his disposal suggests they should. There are some news like the absence of Roberto Firmino and a new face in the name of Artur Cabral, who plays for Basel in Switzerland. Although the forward had already played preparation games with the Olympic team before traveling to Tokyo, this is the first time for him with Tite's setup. He's getting his chance because of a late injury of Mateus Cunha, the Atletico Madrid player. Cabral is 23 years old. He played in Ceará and Palmeiras back in Brazil, but in the Swiss Super League, of course, we don't hear too much about that league, but he's kind of a star over there, at least in the last two seasons. And in this one, in the 2021, he already scored 20 goals in 16 games in all competitions. On the other side, yes, Venezuela is bottom of the table, as you said. It doesn't seem at all that Qatar 2022 will be Vino Tinto's first time in a World Cup. They will face Ecuador and Chile, apart from this fixture with Brazil. Darwin Machis is back, the Granada player in the squad, but Salomon Rondon, Yangel Herrera and Joseph Martinez, who were all in the preliminary list of 50 footballers, won't be part of the team. Rondon is not injured, but there was a request from Everton not to call him this time. Yes, a one-sided match. In the last six qualifying games, Brazil have not scored more than two goals, and the reverse fixture against Venezuela was actually 1-0. But this could be the opportunity for Tite to receive the love he deserves at home. So I believe it could be the match for Brazil to score more than two. Brazil winning at halftime and winning at full time had odds of 2.1. An Asian handicap of -1.5 for Brazil had odds of as well 2.1. And as you said, Brazil to win 2-0 with odds of 2.25.
If this is a one-sided game, as you mentioned, with odds 1.4 for Brazil to win, the following one, the odds are even more generous with Ecuador-Bolivia, only 1.25 for tricolor to win, very, very low, and they are not in a great moment. Ecuador, they've been the biggest surprise, in my opinion, in these qualifiers. They've been in the qualification spots the whole time because they started very good, Leo, although in the last five games, only one victory. Yes. Against Paraguay in this round of fixtures. They are also playing against Venezuela and Colombia, so it will be key to see if Ecuador can keep it with the run and go to Qatar, which will be an amazing success. And now they play against Bolivia. 6 points for them. They lost against Argentina in their last trip. And away, Leo, they always lose a lot, only 2 points against Chile and Paraguay. But we always say that they have a good striker, so Bolivia can score at any time. 8 goals for Moreno Martin, top scorer of these CONMEBOL qualifiers.
Yes, absolutely. And the three, I was reading some Ecuadorian newspapers and they are still lamenting the way they lost the point with Uruguay in the last minute. But you mentioned, it's not just Bolivia now, then they will play at home Venezuela after traveling to Barranquilla. So basically, could be a good October for Gustavo Alfaro's men. 6 points out of nine could for sure still keep them on a direct qualification spot after we finish this October triple round of fixture. There are a few surprises in Alfaro's list. For example, the inclusion of Jose Angulo, who is, for me at least, is the biggest surprise. He's having a very good 2021, first playing for Manta FC and now for Independiente del Valle, both in Ecuador. Among the news as well is the call for a 19 years old called Jeremy Sarmiento, who plays in the Brighton Academy in England. His parents are from Ecuador. He was born in Spain and grew up in England, playing for the Free Lions at under 15, under 17, and under 18, but now got a call up from Alfaro. Another one returning is Alexander Dominguez, the goalkeeper who missed all the matches in September due to injury. Also as well, Angelo Preciado, Ayrton Preciado, and Robert Arboleda, the Sao Paulo defender, are returning to the squad. And you know, I was thinking that for many years, the tree was constructed around, for example, Antonio Valencia or Ener Valencia. However, if you now ask who is the most important player for the three, that would be Piero Hincapié, the Bayer Leverkusen defender. He left Talleres de Córdoba for the Bundesliga and he adapted straight away. He even scored his first goal last week in the Europa League. The match will be played in Guayaquil, not Quito this time, not in the altitude of Quito, of course, not to give any advantage to Bolivia, who is used to play in the altitude of La Paz. The last time they played Ecuador and Bolivia in Guayaquil, that was before on the road to France 1998, and Ecuador took a 1-0 victory, which this time should be enough this time around, because when Bolivia is down 1-0 playing away, they win 0% of their matches, and also playing at home, Ecuador have not lost to Bolivia in the last 7 encounters, winning 4 of the last 5. When it comes to Bolivia, Edu, what you would need before anything is to have a good pen to make sure you won't stop working. Why I'm saying you should need a good pen? Because you will need to write for a while, because Cesar Farias, the Bolivian manager, called 53 players for this fixture. But at the same time, it's not a surprise when you think that Faria has already used 46 players on the road to Qatar. Yes, Marcelo Moreno Martins is in the squad. You said goal scorer of the competition with 8 goals so far. Ecuador, the favorite for this one. Goals over 2.75 has odds of 2. An Asian handicap of -2 for Ecuador has odds of 2.31. And finally, Ecuador to win both halves has also odds of 2.55.
Bolivia, they need 3 passes to put all the players in there. And the last game is the toughest one, I think, to call. And we can see it also in the odds. Peru, Chile, the loser, they can say already goodbye, I think, to Qatar. They are 7th and 8th in the standings. Peru, with 8 points, they started very bad, but the victory against Venezuela and the draw against Colombia gave them some hope. Whereas for Chile, Leo, I have some Chilean friends that are saying that they are not going to Qatar, that this is over after so many years with good teams, good squads. They gave up only 1 point in the last 3 fixtures, only 1 victory in these qualifiers, and was exactly against Peru. What do you expect here?
As you said, and I agree, there is no a draw is not good for anyone in here. You know, it's this kind of game when you believe they will throw everything at themselves, but I also believe, because of what Gareca has shown sometimes, or what we had seen with Lasarte, that it's not going to be all attacking from the beginning. I believe it's going to be a kind of like a nervous game. Let's not forget that also Chile is without Arturo Vidal because of suspension, is without Eduardo Vargas because of injury. He got injured in the second leg of the semifinal of the Copa Libertadores with Palmeiras, and also they are without the left back Eugenio Mena. So, and there is this problem for Martin Lasarte, the Chilean manager, who so far has been in charge for 10 competitive games and won just one, with 5 draws and 4 defeats. That solitary win came in the Copa America, so Lasarte does not know what is to win in a qualifying match. It happened before for Lasarte that he couldn't count with Vidal. That was against Argentina and Bolivia in this road to Qatar. Against Argentina, he used Pablo Galdames, a midfielder, and against Bolivia, he preferred to change system and play with 3 at the back, so he chose another defender instead of, to replace Arturo Vidal. Being a must-win game, good news for him, he's going to count now this time with Ben Brereton, the Blackburn Rovers striker, with the Chilean mom. That's what he's playing with the Chilean setup. He couldn't travel, or he was not allowed to travel in September, but now he's back. He scored on the weekend with Blackburn, and he's the goal scorer of the championship, the second division in England, with 10 goals so far this 2021. Peru and Chile, Edu, they face each other 9 times in Lima for CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers. Peru winning 6 of those meetings, and Chile 3. With Ricardo Gareca as manager, Peru lost the 3 times they played. The most memorable, the 4-3 defeat in Lima on the way to Russia. The last time that Peru took the 3 points against Chile at home. That was in 2013 on the road to Brazil. That night was a 1-0 victory. From that Peruvian triumph, those who have chances to play again against Chile after 8 years, you still have some players around. Those are Jefferson Farfán, who scored actually the winning goal that night, Josimar Jotun, Cristian Ramos, and Jordi Reina, who are all in Ricardo Gareca's squad this time. And for Chile that time, Claudio Bravo, Gary Medel, Charles Aránguiz, and Alexis Sánchez also played and are now in contention for first day as well. A very tight call, this one. Yes, I expect both teams anyway to score, which has odds of 2.05. Peru to score first with odds of 2.1. And a draw, no bet for Chile, has also odds of 2. Very tight everything.
All right, both teams to score, taking in consideration that it's a must win for both of them. Sounds like a good idea, Leo. Thank you very much, but still, I want to listen to your ACA and see if we are lucky in these CONMEBOL qualifiers.
Let's go where my ACA goes this way. Paraguay, Argentina, Argentina. Uruguay, Colombia, a draw. Venezuela, Brazil, Brazil. Ecuador, Bolivia, Ecuador. Peru, Chile, Peru. The ACA for this is 22.72.
Thank you, Leo. See you very soon. See you actually on Friday, because we have to analyze the next round of fixtures. Enjoy South American football.
See you later. Bye.
We have now everything to bet in this match day. Uruguay or Colombia, for instance. You will tell me who is the winner. Leave a comment below in the comment section. And of course, don't forget and click on the like, subscribe, and click on the bell to get notifications if you enjoy our videos. And remember also, we have a podcast for you. Thanks for watching and see you soon.